Hi, Fiora. How are you this week?
Hi, Joe. I'm doing really well. How's your week going so far?
It's going great. It's been an interesting week. Lots of cool things have happened. But listen, I want to find out how your Reiki went.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So for anybody that doesn't know, the way that you and I met, that Joe and I met, is because I booked an Akashic reading with you, right? And in that reading, you had told me that I had a past life as a healer. That's actually the second or third time that I'd heard that. I heard that in a tarot reading. I had that in another reading with somebody else. So once I heard it from you, I'm like, okay, but you were very specific. You were very specific in telling me like that, I worked with my hands. And you know, that you channeled energy through my hands and you told me that I'm a channel, and you were the most specific out of any reading that I've ever gotten. So if anyone's still waiting on getting a reading from you, I implore you to do that, because it was just life changing.
Yay, get the deets.
Yeah. So I went to Reiki last week, and I just had all these moments of like, oh my God, like I'm supposed to be here. Like
yes.
So the first thing with Reiki, and which you know, is you learn the symbols. So we were taught a symbol in this first class, and this one incorporates a spiral into it. It's a power symbol. I've always been attracted to spirals, like since I was little, and since I'm like, this is so funny. Like my AIM screen name, I had one. It was like Spiral Goddess.
Yeah, nice. not the pasta, not the pasta kind.
I have my tattoo has spirals in it, just because I love spirals, no other reason. Anyway, so when she's like showing us these symbols, I'm like, I'm gonna cry.
Aww.
It feels so just right. And so we learned, we did the attunement, and then we got to practice. And so once I got to practice on a person, and I started, and it was just like natural.
Yes.
Like it just felt just intuitive is the only way I could describe it. It was like, I knew what I was doing. And it was amazing.
Isn't that cool? That is so cool. And the spirals, was that the Shokure?
The Shokure. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Oh my gosh. So imagine this, that your timelines, all came together in that moment, and you've lived it before, but then you didn't. It was brand new. It was in the now, but it was also in the future and the past. Just all that super esoteric stuff coming together. And that's when you feel like, I am exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So cool. I love that.
Yes.
So did you notice any of the energy coming from between your fingers?
When I do it all, my entire hands just like light up. My whole hands just light up. And even after I was done and I had closed the session, my hands were just really, really tingly. My fingers specifically. But yeah, I could feel definitely like almost like I had webbing.
Yes.
In between my fingers.
Yes. The power for energy work when done with the hands is absolutely from between the insides of the fingers.
Yeah,
that's where the power comes from. So what's next for you? Are you going to get certified at another level? Or are you going to start doing Reiki?
Yes, I already signed up for Reiki too.
Nice.
Yeah, so I can do distance Reiki and do all that. But yeah, so right now I'm just practicing just to get more, you know, more in tune and just keep going with it.
Have you tried it on your kids or your husband?
I tried it on my husband. Yes, yeah. I did. I haven't tried it on my kids yet. I'm I'm just trying to get through this move.
Oh my gosh. I know. What? There's so many people that are going through moves right now. And yeah, I don't envy you, but it is very exciting to get a new space.
Yeah, it's super, super exciting. I just love the integration of the past lives, because my experiences with past lives haven't always, not to say that they're not positive, but they were just not so personal. Yeah. Like the first experience I ever had with a past life was my mom used to get really bad migraines. Like all my childhood, I remember my mom would get really bad migraines to the point where she had to be in a really dark room. She'd get the potato slices and put them on her forehead, like to suck out the, I don't know, the bad energy or whatever it is, the swelling. I don't know exactly what that does, but
potato is the wonder cure.
So one time she was laying in, I remember her laying in the living room on the sofa, and my dad had blacked out the entire room, and he's like, just leave her alone. And she's over there mumbling and talking and asking questions and saying like, oh, my head. And she's like, where am I? And my dad, like, she's talking, like, don't we need to go talk to her? And he's like, no, just leave her alone. And I'm like, no, like,
don't touch her.
It's my mom. Like, I'm not going to just. So I went over there and I start talking to her, and she starts telling me, like, I fell off my horse. And I'm like, what? Uh-oh. We don't have horses. I go in an apartment. And so I'm the more I talk to her, she starts telling me that she's a little boy. And he's, so this is weird when I tell this story, because it's like, it's my mom, so it's she, but she's telling me that she's a boy. So I say, I'll go back and forth with the he and the her, I don't know, but she starts telling me that she's a little boy in Cuba. It gives me his whole name, first name, last name. And she tells me that he's the son of a man who owns a newspaper in Cuba. Gives me the name of the father, the mother, the name of the newspaper that he owns, the city that they live in, gives me the name of the horse.
Oh my God, that's like some serious detail.
Yes, she describes the horse. He's a white horse, and he was out riding, and the horse tripped, threw her off, or threw him off. He hit his head on a rock. Wow. And so now he has this major, you know, head trauma, head pain. Aww. And she's over here feeling it in the form of a migraine.
Right.
And so as she's like, you know, telling me all these details, and I'm walking her through it, like, you know, you're okay. And I'm like, well, where are you? Like, what do you see? Where are you? She's like, there's just nothing but white light here. I don't know where I am. Like, I don't know where my parents are. And I want them to find me. So I remember, like, I was probably like 7 years old. Right. And right. So do you remember how we used to have address books?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm kind of mad that we don't anymore, to be honest. I love that dumb thing.
So my mom used to have an address book, and this is where she would write like random notes on it. I obviously had addresses in there too. So I remember taking like the back page, like the Z, because there's nothing back there.
There's never any Z's.
And I'm writing down all the details. Like, I wrote down all the, you know, all the names she gave me, all the newspaper information, everything. The hard part was, like I said, I was 7 years old. So this was the early 90s. We didn't have internet the way that we have it. Like, I didn't even have a computer at that time. That wasn't a thing. And even now, it's so hard to find information on Cuba.
Right, 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 right.
It's not something that I can easily just type in, like, Cuban newspapers. But she gave me the year. It was like 1949, I believe, is the year that she gave me. And my mom was born in 1959.
Wow.
So she gave me dates, gave me city names, so much information. And I remember I wrote everything down that I could. And we had that address book for years. And I never transferred that information. I mean, I was still a little kid.
Sure.
Never transferred the information anywhere else. So even now, if I wanted to research it, I don't even know where to start.
Right.
But that was my first inkling of, like, wow, like, you know, this is somewhere in there. It's somewhere in your head, or, you know, I didn't understand, like, somewhere in your consciousness now. But it's just amazing that this stuff exists.
It really does. It really does. We kind of did like a super quick transition from talking about Reiki into past lives, but that's what we're going to talk about today, guys. We're going to talk about past lives and reincarnation. We're going to talk about karma and dharma, and yeah, some really cool stuff. Sit back and get comfy, because we're gonna get into it.
Yeah. So I know when I had my reading with you, we dive into past lives. Is that something that normally happens with the Akashic records?
Absolutely. Typically, after I open your Akashic record, then spirit will either show me a past life or a series of past lives, or they'll give me a message about what energy is emanating from you right now. And then they'll tie that back to a past life. And the whole point is that they want you to understand that what you're experiencing now is directly linked to a past life, and it needs to be brought into balance. Mm-hmm. And then for the rest of the reading, we'll talk about how you do that, developing your intuition and all that stuff. So it's those soul blueprint readings, they give you, like you said, detail into what's going on. Like, you know, this document that you wrote for yourself. And today, we just don't have time to get into soul blueprints today, but we're definitely going to be talking about that in a future, because there's so much to talk about: soul blueprints, soul contracts, soul family, soul groups, all of that stuff, which is a byproduct of reincarnation.
Right. Yeah. So I think my mom's has had a ton of lives. Well, actually, she used to have hypnotherapy done.
Yes.
And I was still small. And at that point, we lived in a different apartment that had stairs in it. And I remember the hypnotherapist would come and they'd tell me to go upstairs. And so I would always being like super curious and nosy, I would sit at the stairs and like try to listen to what they were talking about.
Don't tell me what to do. That's that soul urge 5. Yeah. Don't tell me what to do.
I sit at the stairs and I would listen in on their conversations. And one of the past lives that she recalled, she was a woman named Maria. She was on a boat. She somehow fell off the boat and she drowned in the ocean. And that's how she passed. My mom hates boats. My mom does not like the ocean. She will not go on a boat. She doesn't like it. She had, what else? She had, okay. The last incident that I had one-on-one with her was, I was probably like 14, and she had a really bad ache I'm not going to call it a stomach ache, because it was like this really bad pain on her side. And to the point where she was essentially like hallucinating. And so she's laying in bed and she starts again with the talking and the sounding, like she's disoriented. And I can tell that it's not her, but she's talking. And so I sit down and I start talking to her. And this time she starts telling me that she's a young man in Mexico, and he comes from a family like on the up and up. They're, you know, like high society, and he's going to university. But he's in love with a native girl, and his family does not approve because they want him to marry, you know, someone of social status, blah, blah, blah. And that he was on his way to see her, and almost like similar to that other life, he was on a horse. Something happened with the horse. Horse threw him off, and now he had a gash on his stomach. And so, and she was the girl that he was in love with had come. And she had taken him, they had taken him, and she was caring for him. And she's telling me, she's like, she's here. She's so beautiful. And he described again, gave me names, his name, family names, the university name of where he attended. The name, her name, described her, like what she looked like, long hair, black hair, beautiful eyes. Like it just gave me like so, so many details. But again, like, how do I research? Like, and not that I'm sure I wrote some stuff down, but I don't know what I did with that information.
Wow. Isn't that cool? Like, and of course now you go, well, why can't that happen right now? First off, how does your mom feel about horses? Does she like them?
No.
I can't imagine why, right? Like, screw those horses. They just keep taking my life. They're taking her out of like really good lives, it sounds like too. So.
But I guess it's the same thing of like how, you know, now in this life, we're more most likely to die in a car accident.
Yeah.
They didn't have cars back then, so Mm-mm. they rode horses. So it's like yeah. the same, it's probably the same idea. You die in your mode of transportation or whatever.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, your poor mom. She's like, screw those horses. I'm not, no.
No.
Oh, wow. So do you think that she would ever be professionally hypnotized to try to get those details on record so that they could be researched?
She's done it before. I just don't remember her keeping the records. And I'm not really sure why she was doing it at the time. I know for the most part, it seemed like she had a lot of recurring ailments.
Yeah, it sounds like pain is what brought yes. on these past life recalls.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, when she was in hypnotherapy, I'll ask her. I don't even know why she was doing the hypnotherapy. I think it has something to do with whatever was going on, maybe more migraines or whatever.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, there's so much out there about past lives as far as, you know, details like that. And a lot of authors or researchers, they'll research the details and then they'll come up with these. They're like, oh yeah, this person existed. Here's, you know, their gravestone or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not, I'm not saying that it's not possible during an Akashic reading, but I don't get details like that. It's why you're experiencing the challenge that you're experiencing.
Right. Right.
That's it's the extent more of it.
Like karmic. Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah. It very much is. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a researcher. He's a psychiatrist at the University of Virginia. His name's Jim Tucker. And he wrote a book because the book is called Return to Life, Extraordinary Cases of Children Who Remember Past Lives. Because he had like 2,000 cases of children who remembered their past lives. And so normally children who can remember, they remember between the ages of 2 and 6. Mm-hmm. And then after age 6, it just fades. It fades yep. away. Yep. But about 60%, so there's a few stats connected to like what he talks about. So about 20% of young children claim to have memories of the time between death and birth. 60% of children who claim to remember past lives are male.
Oh, that's yeah. interesting.
Uh-huh. Roughly 70% of children remember an unnatural or violent death. And that probably has to do with karma, right?
Yep. Yeah. Also just trauma, right? Because we store sure. our trauma in our etheric field, in our energetic field. So that trauma is going to bring about a greater sort of remembrance than, you know, the love and the happiness.
Yeah. And the last thing is the average time spent between lifetimes is 16 months.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? You think, oh, and it can be anywhere. It can also go into decades, you know, but yeah, 16 months. That's, you know, less than 2 years that you're chilling on the other side. And then, you know, listen, I don't know why spirits are chomping at the bit to get back down here, but I mean, it is what it is. And I can't speak to it incarnate because I think it's, I'm like, don't leave. Why would you ever leave?
Well, so touching on something that you just mentioned about the science behind it and inherited trauma. So there is science, a science study behind it. It's called epigenetics.
Oh, yes.
So epigenetics is the research behind the fact that our DNA cells actually inherit trauma from our ancestors, from, you know, parents, grandparents, and beyond. A lot of the research in epigenetics they've done on people who have ancestors who were in the Holocaust, people who had ancestors who suffered through famine.
Famine. Okay.
Yeah. And they found that those people who have whose ancestors experienced famine usually have like they have genetic dispositions for diabetes, for malnutrition. Like it's crazy how it all correlates.
So here's where I'm like, hold on. It doesn't make sense to me because, okay, epigenetics, that makes sense. Ancestral DNA that's carried forward, that makes sense. If you reincarnate within the same physical family, the same human family, right? That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But the majority of souls, I'm not going to say they don't, because I have no way to prove that, but mm-hmm. the whole point of reincarnation is to experience life from a different perspective. So whereas one life I might reincarnate as Joe, right? Me. Yeah. And then in the next life, I could come back as a Cambodian man. So none yeah. of that, other than what is actually chilling in my etheric field or my soul or aura, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. my electromagnetic field, that's the stuff that's going to come back. Those are the memories. And so people are like, well, I'm honoring my ancestors. But it just never really clicked for me. And it never does. There's something I'm sure that I'll come across that will make it click. But for now, mm-hmm. It's not like I'm a skeptic, but I'm like, wait a minute, it doesn't make sense.
I see. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. it could be that both are true.
It absolutely could.
Right?
It absolutely could.
Yeah. Because in these instances, so my mom is from El Salvador. And then her family basically traces back to indigenous people of that region and Spaniards.
Wow,
but yeah. these two specific lifetimes that I've worked with her were, one was in Cuba, and she doesn't yeah. have any family from Cuba. She doesn't come from Cuba. And the other one is from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that makes sense in exactly what you're saying. Like they're from different regions. They're not necessarily linked to her family or where she came from.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that both are true, though, right?
Both are true. Absolutely. All possibilities, all potentials and all possibilities.
Well, I guess, okay, it makes sense like this. It's one is DNA and the yep. other is consciousness.
Yep. Consciousness and energy. Yep. But then, yeah. And then the tie-in is that energy, DNA is energy. It's molecules and atoms and all right. of that stuff that it's all made up of energy.
Yeah.
So, okay. So fundamentally, reincarnation is about the experience of choice, okay, and the ramifications of that choice. And that's what provides us with those essential life lessons. So as humans, we chose to be here in order to make choices. Okay, that is the foundation of reincarnation. Mm-hmm. I want to make choices. Okay, well, then you have to go to Earth to be a human.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you've heard people say, well, we're spiritual beings who are currently inhabit a physical body. And that's absolutely true. And so, but the universe sort of operates under this simple rule. And the rule is that all things happen by prior agreement. Okay. But we have free will. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So unfortunately, like as we acclimate to this life on Earth, as human, we lose that conscious awareness of our spiritual existence. And like you said, typically by the age of 6 or 7, right? It just goes away.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it. I'll talk about why specifically it does that. But again, we've made an agreement to come here, and that agreement includes like our gender, our race, our physical appearance. Mm-hmm. It includes the type of parents that we have, our children and family members. It includes our career and even our financial status, right? So a lot of people mm-hmm. that struggle with money, it's like, well, you need to get to the root of those money things, and you can do that with like maybe past life review or karma or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it also, of course, our sexual preferences and our relationships, we mm-hmm. choose that. And then the length of our lives, as well as any illnesses that we'll experience, injuries or physical challenges. So like every single aspect is incorporated into the soul blueprint, and the soul yeah. blueprint is the map,
yeah.
And like I said, that's a whole other episode.
Yeah. So the thing that I remember from Dolores Cannon that she mentioned, though, is although you make these agreements, like these karmic agreements of like, I'm going to experience this, this and that, and I'm going to have XYZ relationship with so-and-so, because you have the free will,
yeah.
you also have the choice to not,
yep.
To not finish that karma in this mm-hmm. lifetime. However, you're never like, you're never just done with it 100%. No. It's more never. Like you're pushing it off to the next
yep one. Absolutely, because it just gets it's a lesson that you have to come back and pick back up, right? It might be you might be a different sex, you might be a different location of the world, you might be in a different family, but yeah. that same lesson is going to come up. So yeah. And it's not it's it is about getting you know, learning from the lesson and experiencing the growth, but it's also about balancing karma. And that is the most important thing. And I'm going to talk about karma and dharma last, okay, after I talk about reincarnation, because, you know, it, just to give, like, you know, it's important to know. Well, I think it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's important to know, like, really the fundamentals of reincarnation before you start to talk about karma, because yeah, karma isn't what people think it is, right? It's not,
what goes around comes around.
Yeah. It's, it, I mean, it is, but it's not in any sort of, you know, way that is, there's a word I'm looking for, like punishment, right? It's not okay. Punishment.
Okay.
All right. All right. So, reincarnation, right? So the reason that we incarnate as humans is because the soul evolves most efficiently, mm-hmm, by in physical form, by facing and making choices and then experiencing the effects of that choice.
Okay.
That's how we evolve. Uh-huh. So after death, you know, when we pass over, we sort of review everything that happened through that life and the lessons that we learned from it. That's, mm-hmm, called the soul review. And a lot of people picture that soul review as like a giant screen that you actually stand there. But the cool thing about the soul review is that you not only experience your emotions, you re-experience your emotions at the time, but you, uh-huh, also experience the emotions of the other person. Oh. So you know how your words or actions impacted that person. So I know, right? Because I know I've been a shit in my life before and I don't want to feel it, but all those people, I'm like, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, you're going to find out how that felt. Mm-hmm. So the soul sort of undergoes like this full range of experiences and choices, right, when you reincarnate. So
yeah,
one lifetime is not enough. It is not enough to experience the whole gamut, okay?
Okay.
Because you have to experience life as a female and a male, as a victim and a perpetrator, as a student and a teacher, right? So it reincarnates many times over to experience that sort of full spectrum of life. You have to have all of those experiences,
yeah,
in order to really, you know, duality and really understand the human nature.
Yeah.
So, it gradually becomes more self-aware and discovers more of its true capabilities and learns how to overcome perceived limitations of being physical. Okay. So, how I'm going to break that down is basically as you evolve, as you ascend, as you grow, you start to develop more trust in yourself. You develop the ability to manifest, right? And co-create with spirit and all of those things. And that's the whole point of it, right?
Yeah.
It's like a compare and contrast process. Okay. But not repetition. So, the soul learns best when we're comparing something. So any lifetime is going to be different, completely different from the last one, or, you know, greatly different.
Okay.
Because from the soul's point of view, there's very little value in repeating the same life again and again, unless there is a very specific lesson within that lifestyle that has yet to be learned. Right. So, just a good example is like the movie Groundhog Day, right? Until, uh-huh, the dude learned, he kept experiencing it over and over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I heard this really cool story from a shaman that does illuminations. And she had this client where in one life she was married to a man, but she was also in love with another man. And she could not decide, but she loved them both. And so in her soul contract for her next life, she asked them to be her parents.
Oh, so, I love that.
So that she could love them both.
Oh, I love that. Right. Yeah. That's a really cute perspective.
Yeah.
Well, you know, each lifetime is pre-planned, and that's what she did. She pre-planned that, right? So, yeah, you know, before being born, you know, the soul along with our spirit guides, right? And those are the people that we say, hey, or the beings, right? Say, hey, listen, I really respect you, or you're really good at this, or I see that you've mastered that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in when I do Akashic readings for people, their friends will come through and they're like, they switch on and off as spirit guides for each other.
Yeah.
One person will incarnate and then, you know, the other person will be their soulmate. You know, so we sort of enlist these guides, and those guides You know, they help us along the path. They help us stay aligned with our soul blueprint. And that's how our intuition, why it's so important, because they use our intuitive abilities to do that, because they don't have voices to speak or, you know, arms to stop us and move us in the right direction. So that's why they use, you know, spirituality.
Yeah.
So in most of the major events in life are pre-planned, right? Birth, family, all of that stuff. So it's all about those choices too, you know, free will. And, you know, we choose our body and, you know, all of that stuff. So it's a very, very cool process.
Yeah. Like I know for me, it's popped up in ceremonies for me where if I opted to have another child, it's a male spirit. It's an energy that's there.
That's and he's waiting.
And he's just kind of there like, I'm here if you, you know, if you want me, but you know, also I'm great. Like,
oh,
it's really sweet.
Are you thinking about having more kids?
No.
Yeah, no. I don't, that would be really cool. I feel like if I did have a spirit child waiting, it would be a little girl, but yeah, I'm not going to have kids in this lifetime.
Yeah. So there's our free will, right? We have the free will to either make the choice to do it or not do it. And, but either way, they're cool. They're fine. Cause they're chilling with our other soul families out there. So
you know, and here's the cool part too, is that reincarnation, it does actually have a beginning and an end, right? We're not tied to this wheel of endless death and rebirth, right? So it typically takes well over 100 lifetimes from the first human life. So we have certain levels. Let me check my notes here. So there are certain stages of reincarnation. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's 5 stages. All right. So there's an infant stage, the baby stage, the young soul stage, the mature soul stage, and the old soul, right? Infant, baby, young, and mature, and old. Okay. Now.
Okay.
So within there are 7 levels within each of those stages. And then there are any number of lives that can happen within each level. So when you're an infant soul at the first level, you need to master that. You need to master. So it could take you 3 or 4 lives to do that. So infant souls are all just about being alive. You know, they're just about survival, physicality, mortality, environmental awareness, right? Infant souls are sort of like tribes. Tribes that are in the Amazon, or, you know, tribes that just don't have a lot of socialization within civilization, civilized, right? So then you have baby souls, which are all about just belonging to a culture. So those are the souls that are like, hey, you know, I belong, I'm a part of this.
Okay.
You know, these are the people that learn rules and law and order and crime and punishment, and they learn social awareness. Okay. Then there are young souls, where souls, that's when you move into the next phase of, you know, realizing that you're a free agent, that you have that free will, right? So it's all about independence, self-advancement, personal achievement, free will, all of that. Yeah. And so there is a, this is a study, and I'll get into mature and old souls too, but this was a study done by, you know what, I'll include it in the show notes.
Okay.
But basically, these souls were sort of, it's like they polled. I don't know how they did this, but it's all included in the study. The majority of people are right now on Earth currently are at the young soul stage, which, you know, really then that just explains why the Earth is composed primarily, you know, of the clusterfuck that's going on right now, right? It really is, because ascension is the gradual shift from one consciousness to another, right?
Okay.
And so we've begun that process of moving into more a coexistent, like conscious and focus, which can take over 100 years.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So then we go to mature souls, and though that's all about coexisting with others, which is what we're moving into.
Okay.
And then old souls are about being a part of all that is, right? That's like Buddhists and, you know, all of that. So
okay.
There is a process, but within that process, there are levels and stages. And then within each of those stages, it can take as many lifetimes as it takes. So, you know, that's why we can have, you know, it can take, you know, up to like 1,000 years, you know, or more than that for us to really evolve.
I've heard of something, and I don't know if you can explain it at all, or that some people, specifically, I've heard it about the youngest generation now, the alpha generation, that they've incarnated here without karma.
Yeah, yeah, yep. So there are some children, mostly they're rainbow children and crystal children, and they don't have karma. They've already cleared all of their karma, right? Okay. So their last life, they didn't create any additional karma. Maybe their last life, they were a Buddhist, right? Where they just from the time they're born until the time they pass, they only did good. Okay. Well, quote unquote good, right?
Sure.
But so these children that are coming back, their primary focus is to help raise the vibrational frequency of the earth because it's the consciousness that needs to raise. So the more woke and conscious people that we have, that mm-hmm. naturally raises that vibrational frequency. Think of it like herd immunity.
Yes.
And then that's what helps ascension grow forth. That's why so many people who are of that young soul age are fighting back when it comes to things like equality and, mm-hmm. you know, social programs and stuff, because yes. they are stuck in that whole, you know, independent self-advancement, you know, I'm going to do for me and I do for myself, and we don't do for others. We do for ourselves. They're stuck in that.
Yeah.
So that's also why a lot of those people you'll see are passing over, because they're not contributing to the greater growth. And a lot of them have sold contracts, like, you know, okay. So this is something that I've been thinking about the last couple of days since the George Floyd verdict. And, you know, with there's been three other killings since that verdict of young blacks, three others. Uh-huh. And, you know, I was looking at Derek Chauvin one day, and I was like looking at him and I was like, you jerk, right? Looking at his face. And I heard spirit said to me, he chose to do this for the betterment of humanity. And then, because I also, the lady that killed the female police officer that uh-huh. killed the young father,
yes,
I was looking at her, she then flashed up, and I was like, oh, she chose it as well, right? It doesn't excuse their actions, free will, but ultimately, they are helping advance because they're bringing a greater consciousness to the whole, that you can't just kill people randomly, especially black or brown people.
Yeah.
You just can't fucking do it. Stop goddamn doing it.
Yeah.
That's what's helping raise the consciousness, because now there are more, white people that are saying, we got to stop this shit.
Yeah. So that's actually a really beautiful way to look at it. Like that's karma, right?
It's karma.
And you use your karma to elevate the consciousness of society. To elevate
the consciousness. So these children that are born without karma are also those that are having shorter lives, specifically for the purpose of helping elevate consciousness. So we don't know that Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and, you know, all of these other souls aren't actually highly evolved souls that actually said, I will be the one, I will come forth, and I will be the one who is killed by, you know, this mm-hmm. person in order to, you know, help raise that vibrational frequency.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that kind of mind blowing? I'm like, it what?
Is. Yeah.
And so karma and dharma, I mean, you know, there's a law of karma, right? There's basically the law of karma says that we're held responsible for our actions, but more precisely the intention of our actions. That's what karma is. We're held responsible. So yes, maybe sometime if you murder somebody, or if you're a soldier and you kill somebody, mm-hmm. you're going to come back as an orphan of somebody that was killed in a war.
Right.
Duality and perception and experience. Mm-hmm. There are circumstances where if you kill somebody, then you come back, you both come back, and then you kill them, right? But that's really very... what is the value in that? There is soul. The soul isn't going to look at that and say, okay, there's not as much value in that. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, let's instead reverse positions. Let's instead give this person a life where they feel and experience what it's like to have lost a parent as a result of being murdered.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's so cool. So it's not about cosmic justice or divine retribution. There's just no need for cosmic justice.
Yeah.
So let me also really quickly tell a really cool story. So mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, I was asked to assist on a case, a cold case by a state trooper cadet. And she's like, you know, part of her schooling is that we have to just, you know, try to really solve a cold case. And so she's like, would you, you know, be the psychic on this case? And I'm like, well, I said, you know, I'll try. So I connected to the woman who was killed, who is missing. And we don't know that she was killed. She's just missing. And I connected to that soul and boom, there she was. And I was like, what? And I said to her, I said, listen, I said, you know, they're trying to solve your case. Can you identify your killer and tell us where the body is? And she was so ambivalent. She was like, no. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean? No. And she's like, justice is a human construct. That's, we're not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. There's no need for justice. You know, it's a human thing. It has nothing to do with spiritual evolution. And I was just like, and that's really what started my interest in learning and researching karma. I'm like, what exactly is karma? And why is justice a human construct? So,
you know, it's interesting that point, because I've heard so many stories just from listening to like murder podcasts and stuff like that. cases where children are murdered, or, you know, they suffer some, you know, kind of brutal end, and it's awful, and it's not taking away at all from the suffering of their families or of the child, but how their parents take that and they turn it into something else. They turn it into an awareness, you know, they an awareness campaign, like, so that this doesn't happen anymore. They create laws. They, you know, they get out there and they make actual systemic changes so that this doesn't happen to anyone else again.
Yep. John Walsh and the loss of his son, Adam, way back in like the late 80s, I believe that's a perfect example. He actually created was like the catalyst for child abduction laws.
That's Code Adam, right? The one, Code Adam in the stores, where if a child, there's like a whole system, if a child gets, and then there's also Megan's Law.
So he turned that into a positive, you know, and so Adam probably had a soul contract to come and have a very short life with a very loving family. It was a wonderful little life while it was. And, you know, and then he's like, but, you know, it's time to go because now there's greater work that needs to be done. And typically also souls that do that, particularly children, but I think all souls, they're not conscious. Or they don't inhabit the body at the time. So they're not actually going to experience any pain or torture or anything like that. They check out. They're like, peace out. You know, astral travel, leave the body, whatever.
Well, that's true for any traumatic event. Even if you survive it, your soul leaves your body. And that's where we get into soul retrieval, which is something that I've had done, where because you're suffering a traumatic event, your soul leaves your body and you almost like displace a piece of your soul. And so the soul retrieval process is the process of retrieving that piece back to you.
That soul retrieval is a cool topic. I would love to get into that too. Okay. So I want to also talk about Dharma, because karma is the balancing of perspective and experience, but Dharma is when we align with spirit to fulfill our life purpose. So that's what Dharma is. And, you know, there's just basically three things that you need to know to find your Dharma. And it's basically, you're going to, you know, seek counsel, to speak, from your higher self, right? You're going to connect to your higher self, learn how to work with them in spirit and ask for their guidance and assistance. You're going to figure out that unique talent and that unique thing that you bring to the table simply by identifying what it is that you love to do. People make it so hard. And I understand that some people are like, I don't know what that is, you know, but it is very simple. And then that third thing is just, and then figure out a way to contribute to the world doing that thing. And that's it. That's how you find your Dharma. So that's the difference between Dharma and karma. The only other thing that I can think about talking about, you know, as far as reincarnation, past lives, all of that tied together, is that each time a soul reincarnates on Earth as a human, right? And then we've already talked about how we lose all of those past life, all those memories of past life.
Yes.
the reason that that happens is because it's necessary to start again from zero so that we acquire a new personality.
Okay.
So in one life, you might have a life path 5 with a 7 expression, a 5 soul urge, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But in the next life, you have a life path 1 with a, you know, a 5 expression and a 9 soul urge. So those are all of the things that make up the personality and our skills and our gifts and abilities and all that stuff within the soul blueprint.
So one of the things I wanted to mention, because I really have come to understand this more recently, some people ask, how is it that, let's say, for example, if my grandmother, who passed already, you know, a decade ago, if she's technically already reincarnated, how is it that I can also reach her, you know, in the spirit realm? But somebody explained to me, it's because when you're communicating with them, when they're guiding you, or however it is, you know, that you feel that they're with you, it's because you're communicating to their higher self.
Yeah.
And their higher self is always there, whether they've reincarnated already or not.
Yep.
So that doesn't matter.
Mm-mm, no, the higher self is so cool. And I always tell people that when you start connecting to your higher self, instead of trying to connect to your spirit guides, it's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that I understood, as far as science goes, like the closest they can come to explaining reincarnation and past lives is within quantum yeah. physics.
Yep.
And quantum theory. And when you have, like, you know, that the plasma balls,
yes,
you put your hand on it. And so that's like a visual representation of how past lives work, mm-hmm. or like the center being just like source, or maybe the higher self.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all these little strings, which also goes back to quantum theory and string theory.
Yeah.
All those little strings are all the past lives, all your reincarnations all at once, but because time isn't a construct outside of Earth, these can all be simultaneous to the higher self.
Yep. I know. Right. Okay. So there we go. Right. With the esoteric, like nerdy, like, yes, girl. Yes. Yeah, that's it. And honestly, it takes a minute to get there, to understand those or even really be attracted to those types of theories or go, wait a minute, this is mind blowing. It takes a minute. Right. So
people
start with your crystals and start with, you know, stuff like that, but keep searching and learning and getting into this stuff. But this is all related to life between life. Okay. So that is my absolute favorite topic in the entire world, which is also separate from soul blueprints and soul contracts, because what goes on after we die? What happens? Oh, that's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was this really cool little blurb that I read from Deepak Chopra, where he explains, okay, so it's that everything in nature is about endless transformation.
Endless.
So it's like a cosmic recycling bin. So ingredients aren't, they're just not jumbled like balls in a bingo cage, but instead, like if you, with our perception, so nature exhibits evolution through 3 linked processes: memory, creativity, and imagination. So memory keeps the past intact, allowing the older forms to contribute to the new ones. And then creativity allows for novelty or new, right? So that recycling isn't a mere repetition of the same forms over and over, exactly what you just said. Like you're not just living the same life over and over. And then imagination allows for invisible possibilities to take shape, either in the mind or in the physical world.
Yep, manifestation.
So if everything in nature is recycling under the influence of memory, creativity, and imagination, it seems very likely that human consciousness participates in the same recycling.
Yes.
Or if you want to look at it this way, if human consciousness doesn't recycle or reincarnate, then we'd be outside a process that influences everything else in the universe except for us.
Yeah. Yep.
And is that actually probable? Like, is that, do we really believe that we are exempt to the laws of nature?
I mean, okay, when you really, really, really get into it, you know, the more, oh gosh, we have the ability, right? I'm not saying that we know how to do this, but we have the potential and the ability to change our physical features at will, immediately and instantly, heal ourselves, change circumstances, change the makeup of simple things like tables and chairs and rocks and papers and all that stuff. We have the ability to do that, but we are just not advanced enough to figure it out. So here's sort of a really good segue into that. So let's say that we start out as a baby soul, and then mm-hmm. we graduate over the course of all of these lifetimes, 1,000 lifetimes, and now we're this old soul. Mm-hmm. And there's no longer a need to utilize the Earth school. Then what? What do we do? Mm-hmm. Well, there is another level of existence and growth and evolution, right? And there are an infinite number. We don't know.
Okay.
So maybe the next level is we incarnate as, you know, higher spiritual beings from, you know, another universe. And we go through that process starting out as baby. So we just don't know. But also we know that the statistics out there say that we use like maybe what it's like 5% of our brain's capacity.
At any given time, but we use all our brains. It's just only we use parts of it for certain things at certain times.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, what is it that we're capable of that we're unaware of?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So would you say like ascended masters, what category of souls would that?
Well, so ascended masters no longer need to incarnate because they've reached that sort of mature soul plus. They just choose to every now and again for, you know, certain experiences. Maybe it's an ascended master that incarnated as little Adam Walsh, you know, you know. So but ascended masters are cool, but typically they don't need
incarnate.
No, they don't incarnate.
I see.
Mm-hmm. I know. Cool. Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. It really is. There's so much going on.
So in the Reiki class, just to tie it all together, in the Reiki class, during the attunement, we go into a meditation and you get in contact with your guides.
Yeah.
And she had thrown out a couple stories before, you know, of like how hers went. And like hers, she said that she had seen the blue of Mother Mary's veil. And she's like, I don't know what that means. Like she didn't grow very religious. But she was kind of like, I don't know, but you know, send me confirmation if that's what it is. And then, yeah, she got like three different things were encounters and it was like, there she was, there's Mother Mary. And so yeah, that was her first guide, during that she encountered in her first session. And so anyway, so I go into meditation and I'm like in there and I had this name pop up before in one of my, like, I think when I went into my own Akashic records once, but I was like, no, I'm just going to let it all go. And then I just like sat in gratitude and I'm like, okay, just, whoever wants to come through, I'm open. I'm thankful. Just it is what it is. And I saw this orange and blue light and all I could like, it just in my heart just felt like, it felt like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, that's mm-hmm. like, and at mm-hmm. first I was like, I don't know. So when we came out and she's asking, she's like, so did anybody, you know? And I'm like, I think I did. I'm not sure. She's like, she's like, okay. She's like, you don't have to say like, cause I didn't say, oh, I don't, I just didn't want to sound like pretentious
or crazy, right?
Crazy. I don't know. And So she had these cards. She had these oracle cards. They were like angels and guides or something. And anyway, so it's the first deck I picked up and I go and I just shuffle the cards and then I pull one card. It's Jesus.
Shut up. That's so cool.
It's the card. And then, so then I'm telling my mom the story and I had taken a picture of the card and I'm telling my mom the story and I show her the card and she's like, oh, there's orange and blue in the card. And I'm like, I hadn't even noticed that.
Right, right.
I didn't even notice it.
You know, people think Jesus is like this unapproachable or unattainable sort of, you know, energy that you can connect with, but he pops up all the time. He's one of my ascended masters and he's always telling me, Yeshua. When I'll say Jesus, he'll be like, Yeshua, right? He reminds me. But I remember I was doing a reading for somebody and she called her guide Jim. She's like, my guide's name is Jim. And I was like, okay, well, let's connect to Jim anyway. So I connect to Jim and I'm like, oh, I go, her name, I won't say her name, we'll just call her Lisa. I'm like, yeah. Lisa, are you aware that your spirit guide Jim is actually Jesus? And she's like, oh my God. She's like, I know that, but I didn't, and I didn't believe it. There's no way. So I just called him Jim, and I'm like, yeah, no, that's Jesus. And that was the first time that I saw Jesus too. And I was like, dude, you're Jesus. And he's like, oh my God, it's not that big of a deal. It was so this whole thing. And
like, you're a celebrity.
Yes. It was a really cool thing. And we laugh about it to this day. I'll be like, so, you know, how's Jim? She's like, he's good. He's good.
I love it.
Yeah. It's funny. All right. Well, what a fun conversation this was.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you guys. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you all for sharing space with us today. Stay mystical, magical, and ready to do again next week. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode on ancestral trauma and healing.
That's going to be a good one. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend. Find us on all of the socials under Esoteric Podcast and join our Facebook group, the Woke Akashic, to find out about upcoming classes, events, and to participate in free monthly moon meditations. There's also lots of other cool things that we do in there. So, yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.